Turn with me in your Bibles now to our second reading, and we'll find that in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahershal al-Hashbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahershal al-Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, forasmuch as this people refuseth the waters of Siloah that go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son, now, therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not, a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look to the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So it is my understanding, it's my contention, that chapters 7, 8, and 9 form a piece. They form a unit. And the unit we might even call Emmanuel's unit. Because, as we saw in the last hour, in chapter 7, it looks like the stock of David has come very low. In Ahaz, this king that sits on David's throne, there is faithlessness. And there's even a plan to remove him from the throne and to put in Tabeel instead. And so Ephraim and Syria are confederate. That's what we heard in the last chapter. But we heard that there's going to be a king born, an Emmanuel, God with us. And that's how this section begins. Now here in chapter 8, we move on and we're going to expand that thought. We're going to move it out. We're going to widen it out a little bit. And so here's what happens in chapter 8. First of all, notice that we have the naming of this son. The naming of the son is Maher Shalal Hashbaz, which means, variously translated, haste to the prey, fly upon the spoil, you know, like that. The first son that Isaiah had was She'ar Yashuv, that is, a remnant shall return. The second son that he has is Maher Shalal Hashbaz, and we said that this represents in chiastic form the really the basic outline of the book, right? Book of Judgment, Book of Comfort. Book of Judgment, Maher Shalal Hashbaz, Book of Comfort, She'ar Yashuv. And so 1 through 39 and then 40 through 66. That's a good way to remember the book of Isaiah, although there are many other sub-themes that we see there. Okay, so Maher Shalal Hashbaz is fly upon the spoil. Why are they to name this child, or why is Isaiah to name this child Maher Shalal Hashbaz? Because that's exactly what's going to happen to Syria and to Ephraim. The Lord is going to stir up what he calls in the latter verses a flood. And the flood's going to go all over the land, even over Emmanuel's land. And it's going to reach, notice, not over the head, but it's going to reach to the neck. What does it mean it's going to reach to the neck? That means it's going to be very threatening, but it won't make a full end. And it's even going to flow over Emmanuel's land, we heard. Now this Emmanuel, this is the same Emmanuel that we had back here in chapter 7. Again, this is the section on Emmanuel. This is going to reach its culmination next week when we read in chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Who are you, Ahaz, to doubt of God's promises? And so we're reaching this crescendo here. Notice, you think you're being threatened by these guys here, by Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and by Rezin? I'm going to raise up a flood that's going to devour them. And the flood is going to be, well, yeah, but they're in the land. They're in Emmanuel's land. That's okay. It's going to reach to the neck of Emmanuel's land, but it's not going to destroy it. Emmanuel is still coming. Now, I hope you saw this. It's a little subtle, but it's there. So as we turn to, let's see, where was it? There we go. Verse 8. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. That is, don't make associations with anybody. Don't hear that because Assyria is coming and it's going to flow over the land that you need to go to Egypt or you need to go to Babylon or you need to go somewhere else for help. Listen to what he says. Remember how he started. Emmanuel. What is the translation of Emmanuel? God is with us. Now listen to verse 10. Take counsel together and it shall come to naught. Speak the word and it shall not stand. For God is with us. This is Emmanuel's land and Emmanuel will take care of it. We don't need to go to Assyria. We don't need to go to Egypt. We don't need to go to Babylon. We don't need any earthly power to help us. God is with us. Emmanuel will rise and defend his own cause. That's what's being said here. And that takes us down through verse 10. So he tells Isaiah, say not a confederacy to them whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear. Don't be afraid. What are they saying when they say a confederacy? They're saying this. Who are we going to go to help us? Who's going to help us? Who do we need to ally with here? Who do we need to make an alliance with? Who do we need to buy off to come and stand against the Assyrians with us? Who should we do that with? He's telling Isaiah, do not say a confederacy. Then notice what he says. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Guess what? In the next chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter's going to tell us to do the same thing. Right? He's going to tell us to do the very same thing. Peter quotes from Isaiah chapter 8. The Lord must be our fear. He must be our dread. Don't say a conspiracy. Don't say, who do I need to form an alliance with in order that I won't be destroyed? If you are allied with the Lord, you will not be destroyed. Isn't that the point Isaiah is making here? Doesn't that come clear with a little bit of scratching the surface? He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait for the Lord and that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. And then another quotation that is brought into the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 2. Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me. These words are put in the mouth of Christ. I and the children whom thou hast given me are for signs and wonders in the house of Israel, or in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. That is, there is a remnant there. They will be that sign that I am with my people. They are my children, the Lord says. Though the nation go astray, my remnant will remain. And then finally, this very, very famous passage here in verses 19 and 20. And when they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and mutter. Why would they be doing that? Well, look at verse 17. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. Wasn't there a monarch that did that a couple hundred years ago from this time here? Didn't Saul do that? When the Lord hid his face from Saul, what did Saul do? He went to a wizard. He went to a witch that peeped and muttered. Oh, did she get a surprise when Samuel showed up? So what do we see here then? We see that the Lord has withdrawn His safe presence, his comforting presence from the people. He's withdrawn his word from the people because they have refused. Remember, we saw this back in chapter 6. What is the Lord telling Isaiah in chapter 6? Preach until the cities are laid waste. Make the heart of this people fat. Cover their eyes. Shut their ears. Your preaching, I'm going to use, the Lord says, as a means of hardening to this people. And Isaiah says, how long until cities be laid waste? But there is, even in that chapter, a remnant promised. And that these are the children that are being spoken of here in verse 19. And then notice the incredulity of the prophet. Should not a people seek to the Lord? Why would they seek to wizards that peep and mutter? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Oh, it is so very, very important then that in these days of peeps and mutters that we seek to the law of our God. All right, well, thus ends Isaiah chapter 8 then. Next week.